Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Remember, you miss any of the show, you can always use the rewind feature via the radio.com app. Download that app, select our station, you can go back in time. So if you missed the Big 20 earlier in the show, we revealed the number one and number two top sports stories from the last 20 years. You can also listen to how Cakes caught a bad beat playing poker.
Mm-hmm, that did happen, yes.
But right now, we're kind of wondering what the Astros should do in a half hour as they address the media with a press conference addressing the sign-stealing scandal. Their manager, A.J. Hinch, in an interview said that they weren't using electronic buzzers, but if you really parse the language, I think he says they didn't see it and he wasn't aware of it.
Right.
Right.
And I don't think he's saying 100%
it didn't
happen.
I don't believe anything he says.
No.
And, yeah, Zippy. You probably just shouldn't believe him anyway.
Seems very kind of untrustworthy at this point.
Also found it curious. I think they asked the Yankees manager about it, and he really kind of almost, the way I kind of received what he said was he was almost kind of defending Hinch, and it was almost kind of like a baseball fraternity thing because it is talked about a lot. There probably are other teams doing more things. Mm-hmm. And what Bauer says in the Players Tribune is just that the Astros just they were just the best at it.
Yeah.
The problem I have with
AJ Hinch is when Verducci asked him point blank, there's a rumor that you guys were using buzzers underneath your uniforms, right? And he used Altuve as the example.
Yeah.
He danced around the question.
Yeah.
Instead of coming out and saying
absolutely not.
Absolutely not, never happened.
Yeah.
So that tells me that it did happen.
Yeah.
And then I guess he went back afterwards and said, no, I didn't know that. Why didn't you say that first?
Yeah.
You know, you didn't tell me that before.
Right.
So I believe that they were using buzzers.
Something's up.
Yep.
And you mentioned, Eric, that you read Verluga's article in the Washington Post yesterday that it was kind of an open secret for all the teams.
Yeah.
You wonder if, like, in all of these meetings, maybe when we get a chance to talk to Rizzo, whatever, you know, the meetings that they have before, that people are just, as you play the Astros, just you have your countermeasures. Hey, we got to change up the signs every inning. We got to
do this.
Well,
that's what they said, yeah. They had wristbands. They had a whole rack of signs, not just when somebody's on second, mm-hmm. when somebody's on first or not on base.
I'm wondering if Alex Cora, of course, was the man that worked for the Astros as a bench coach and then, of course, was the manager for the Red Sox when they won the World Series the year after. He did call Davey Martinez before the World Series because he wanted to warn the Red Sox about, or warn the Nats about the cheating that the Astros do. Of course, he was part of it. I wonder if that really helped the Nats. I would think it had to have.
Yes. Yeah. Well, did you read the article by Barry?
Yeah, I didn't read the whole thing. I read
but he talked about how he talked to Cora and he talked to other people, and he basically said things like, should we be concerned? He said yes.
He said yes.
Yeah. Right. I wonder, in hindsight, probably not. But I wonder, remember, there was a lot made about, and it was against the Astros, right? When Stras had that rough first inning, and they said that the video guy noticed that Stras was tipping his pitches. Remember all that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they changed, he was doing something. I wonder if that was simply code for they're stealing our signs. Like, that was the way of the Nats kind of dealing with that. You know what I mean? And then during the break, they talked and said, you know, because they don't want to rat out another team, there's his own code. Here's a theory. That they just caught on to that the Astros were stealing their signs. So instead of it wasn't so much Stras tipping his pitches as they caught them stealing the signs. And so that's what they fixed.
It's a decent theory.
Yeah. It's a theory.
I don't think it's likely, but
it's likely that he was.
I think that they
maybe
probably saw something because it was an old habit and it popped up.
Yeah. Well, I bought it. Yeah. I buy it. Just throwing it out there. All right. Let's go to Chris in Leesburg. Chris, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Jones, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, bud.
Hey, so here's the question I have. Like, with all these cheating scandals going on in this, or the theories of them, how are the umpires not at least asking questions on why this is happening? Because if you're an umpire and you're at a home stretch with the Astros, you're doing, you know, 3 to 5 games in a week. They're just keeping you there. How are the umpires not going, why are trash cans being banged on every game I'm at? This is annoying, at least, or something's going on. That part doesn't make sense to me, how they're not involved, or at least
it's a good
aware
question
of it and not doing anything about
maybe
it.
Maybe it just all becomes kind of background noise for you. Your mic's not on.
I mean, you're hitting a trash can. Like, you're going to hear it. You got to hear it because, you know, you're over the stadium noise. I'm just saying, how is that not annoying?
Yeah, it's definitely annoying, but I got to think they knew something.
That's a great question. I'd love to ask an ump.
Yeah, I got to think they knew something.
I mean,
especially umps who have been in the big leagues for 15 years, they know exactly what's going on.
Maybe they do.
Maybe they just feel like it's part of the game and the other team has to figure it out. It's not their job stop sign stealing.
Right.
It's not their job to stop a guy. Because the thing is, every team tries to steal signs.
Yeah,
part of the game. When they're on base.
Part of the game.
Whatever, it's part of the game. It's the reason why they give signs.
Let's go to Dan. Dan, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Sup, Junks? I own my own PR company, and so if I was advising them, because what they should do isn't what they will do, I would tell them that you got to lessen your exposure because they're already being sued by one pitcher, and the more that they talk about it and dwell on how much they cheated, because it's not a mystery that they did, it's how much they did, they're going to be more and more liable. Think about sports betting. What if you lost a boatload on the team playing the Astros?
That's what we said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what they should do is come 100% clean and do the mea culpa. But what I think they will do is downplay it as much as they can, say as little as possible to lessen their exposure.
Did you did you hear my quick sort of off the top of my head PR defense?
I did hear it, and that's exactly what you're probably going to hear, which is you went there, but you didn't expound on it. You just did.
Just general.
Oh, yeah, we did it. We feel bad.
Yeah. Acknowledge we made mistakes. We regret it. We went too far. We crossed the line. But that you don't have to get into the details. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, one more thing about the cornerback who wanted to be traded.
Yeah.
You know, that's demoralizing, right? We got Rivera coming. We got a glimpse of hope. Second year with our young quarterback who may mature some. And then this guy lets it be known that he'd like to be traded. It's just the Redskins, man. It's so demoralizing. They can't get out of their own way.
Well, he's already walked it back, right? So that's good news. You may not have heard that, but in the last 24 hours, apparently he's now saying he didn't request a trade. So, you know, I don't think he's in the financial position where he's going to sit out. I think they'll figure it out. He'll play, and we'll just move on. So I don't know. This is my guess. Let's go to Adam in Leesburg. Adam, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Junks?
Hey, Adam. Hey.
So I want to go on to the topic of taking away the championship. Mm-hmm. So I'm 22 years old, and I played Central Out and Youth Football League in Leesburg. And I was, 10, maybe 12 at the time. Our coach just so happened, you know, for wide receivers and tight ends and running backs to stick their hands out with their gloves on. And, you know, as kids, he started spraying it on our gloves. And we're like, oh, cool. It's like some kind of like sticky mace that will help us hold on to the ball. And when we got to the championship, the other coach found out, went to the league. He no longer coaches in the league, and we didn't get our championship.
Oh, yeah.
So Astros, you know, what was stopping them last year from winning the championship? It just doesn't make sense. I think they should be stripped of it.
Well, apparently, before the World Series started, in Verlugo's article, he points to Joe Torre. They had a meeting with Rizzo, a Hinch, the general manager of the Astros. Joe Torre in the meeting said, no shenanigans.
Right, because he knew.
Yeah, because they all kind of knew. Maybe they could improve, but they all kind of knew, and they wanted a level playing field.
Right.
So apparently, and the story points out that, you know, maybe this started in 2016, actually. Not 2017, but somewhere in 2016. Lasted all the way through 2019, but by the end of the year, the Astros feared that they were going to get caught.
Right.
So they pulled back. So maybe they played it
straight. That's when the buzzer.
In the playoffs.
Well, what year was the buzzer? What year was the buzzer?
That was last year.
That was last year, was it?
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, right. That was last year in the playoffs.
He hit the dinger off
Chapman. I remember it.
The walk-off, and then he didn't, you know, he didn't want anybody to take his uniform off.
Right. And I'm dumb enough. I'm watching it live going, okay, I didn't raise any red flags to me.
Never even noticed it.
No, I did notice it because they asked him right after it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah, yeah. And he said, my wife, she didn't like it last time they took my shirt
off.
Some
lame excuse.
During that game,
I bought it.
I was watching that game, and I was in the tap room at Pebble Beach.
Okay.
It's a bar restaurant, Pebble Beach, so all the sound was down. So we watched the game. It was during dinner. We were having dinner, and we watched the game, saw Altuve hit the bomb off Chapman, and then saw him obviously around the bases, never really noticed what he was doing with the uniform. Didn't notice what he was doing about the T-shirt when he went back into the dugout. He sprinted in the dugout, changed his T-shirt, and came back out.
So suspicious.
But didn't even think about it.
I mean.
But how often do guys have their shirts ripped off?
Well, that's kind of a thing sometimes when you win a championship.
I don't know.
They were talking about it.
Hey, look, it looks suspicious.
You could see your mouth, don't rip this off.
I mean, no, I know that.
Yeah, but he said that for a reason, because he knew that they would likely do that. You know?
Yeah, but wouldn't the other players know? Like, that would be awful stupid. You know what I mean? Like,
not everybody might not be in on it.
Maybe not. Really?
Yeah, yeah. Some guys don't want to know. You know, no harm. I don't want.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whatever that cliche is.
It looks the other way.
Just like, what I don't know is I'm not involved.
Yeah.
You know? And.
I mean, can you imagine if they did pull it off, ripped it off, and some buzzer just drops onto the field?
It's like whatever happened that I can't remember. Yeah. When Sammy Sosa went up and super balls came out of his bat or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's humiliating.
It was a donk that was it Sosa that was climbing through? We're getting old that I've forgotten so many stories that was in the ceiling.
Yeah.
Trying to get to a bat that was taking Major League Baseball.
Because he had it hidden or something?
Yeah. No, Major League Baseball had confiscated the bat.
Yeah.
And he was trying to get to the bat and he went. Through, the ceiling.
Yeah, I vaguely remember.
I don't think that was Sammy Sosa.
I have no clue.
Doesn't ring a bell, but I could be wrong.
Let's go to Carl in Alexandria. Carl, what's up, buddy? Oh, no. Is it not Carl?
That says Carl.
This is a bad phone.
Is it? Hold on. Drabby, did you do it again? Did you do it again?
No, his name's Carl.
Are you 100% sure? We put your professional career on it.
Yeah.
Carl. JP hit
yes.
Carl, what's up?
There you go.
Hey, I think I agree with the previous caller. I think the Astros should be stripped of their title. Yeah. I mean, if you can keep the Black Sox out of baseball permanently, if you can keep Pete Rose out, if you can take Lance Armstrong's 7 tour titles away, why can't you take away the title from the Astros?
Yeah, you can.
I also think that would solve their PR problem. You admit you cheated, you get back the title, all the other teams aren't going to be angry with you. You don't have to do any explanation or justification.
They're not going to be angry with you. Of course they're going to be angry because they could have won the World Series. The Astros won it.
True, but at least
they weren't rewarded.
See, I'm not as hung up on taking away titles as Eric and some other people are because I saw them win it. I want them to be penalized in the future.
Right.
So fines,
I want
heavy,
that too.
Heavy fines, draft
I want
picks.
That too.
I actually think they should be banned from postseason for at least this year.
That's fine with me.
But
I think if you take away the title, though, it stings.
Carl was kind of
sure
a codger.
Does. I mean, there's an asterisk next to the team, but I saw him win it.
I know.
They celebrated. They
got
their rings.
Your whole memory of the whole thing. It just taints it.
How does banning them from the postseason work, though? They would still have to play their games this year, but now there's no incentive.
Exactly. Yeah. There would be 162
every
spring
team that
training
plays
games.
The Astros kind of gets hooked.
That would be my penalty.
All right, let's go to Chris in Fairfax. Chris, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Junkies.
What's up?
I'm a senior over at a college in Fairfax, and I was taking a biopsych test yesterday. Really hard subject. Spent hours studying on it, and the guy next to me, I see him using his cell phone. He's cheating. I don't want to be a rat, but I was just wondering, what would you do in my situation?
I wouldn't do anything.
I'd copy his test. That's what I would
do.
That's
the best way to get an A.
I'm just being honest.
I don't want to get involved. I'm not doing anything. I'm not saying that's the right answer. But
you can't be a narc.
Yeah.
You feel terrible being a narc.
It's not your job to catch the cheaters. It's the teacher's job.
Now, the problem is if they grade on a curve, it screws up the curve.
It could hurt you.
Yeah, it could hurt you.
Yeah,
but
if that guy gets a higher score than me, I'm going to be irked.
I'm not that competitive. I only care about myself. So,
right.
I mean, just worry about you. That would be my son. I'm not saying that's the right
what
answer.
What high school are you at?
No, he's at college.
I'm at college.
Where are you at?
What school?
It's a college in Fairfax.
Mason. Yeah. I mean, come on, a bunch of cheaters over at Mason.
Did you see the story? I'm sure you saw it. Of the buildings had to be evacuated because they saw a suspicious package or bag.
Yeah,
over there yesterday.
I was there for that.
At Mason.
At Mason.
He
yesterday.
Said he was there. What, wow. So what happened?
It was nothing. It was just like a suspicious package. They checked into it. Nothing right. came of it.
Yeah.
Amazon just
what
left
happened?
It in the wrong spot.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, right. Made the news.
Well, I don't know, dude. I mean, if it's really killing you, I guess you could say something, but I wouldn't rat
no,
the guy.
No, it's not killing me. I just heard you say you hate cheaters, so I just wanted to see what EB and the rest of y'all would do.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't do that. I'm talking about more like sports cheaters. I don't really care about real life.
To answer every question, and he always gets it wrong, and he always acts like he knows everything, and then it's like embarrassing for the rest of the class. And then I see the guy cheating. Just like, damn.
Right. Well, I just know that, like, look, in high school, you know, we've all had our moments. Teacher would hand back the grades, like Cakes say, and they would know that you were cheating.
Yes.
But they just couldn't bust you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, happened to me a few times.
Look, you're on the right side of it. You're putting your hard work in, so you're going to be fine.
All right, I appreciate that.
Yep. All right, buddy.
All right, phone number's 800-636-1067. It is an open line. Thursday, your chance to steer the show here on The Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, getting ready for the Astros press conference. We just saw they have a little podium and two chairs, it looks like, set up. So we'll see who speaks. Maybe it'll be Dusty Baker. Who the hell knows who's going to represent the Astros?
I think their owner's speaking.
Yeah, I think it's the Crane.
The owner and at least one other person speaking.
It should be a player involved. Like Altuve should be there, but whatever. So we'll fill you in on what's going on there. We've got Todd Reirden, head coach of the Capitals, joining us at 9:40. But right now, we'll dive into the world of Hollywood entertainment, celebrity scoop with EB's entertainment page.
All right. Do you have the music, Jalen? Does Jalen have it?
I'm sure she'll find it. She'll procure it.
Drabby.
As we go along.
Man, I never thought that we might miss Valdez.
The show has been almost flawless, Rick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not making fun of Jalen, but she's doing great. But,
she's
you know,
great. She's fine.
That's not an attack on Jalen.
It's also on that replay machine. It used to be.
Yeah. I don't even know who hits it usually.
I think it's Bank 3.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to look.
Just sleeping.
I never play it.
No, it's Valdez.
MBBB. That's more entertaining.
There's the intro right there.
It's definitely on his
right, I'll find
Jalen
it.
Havard.
MBBB.
She's looking for it.
I refuse to do it until she finds.
But we are confident that this EP is going to be better than most days.
Why?
Because Drab and I teamed up to make sure that this was a good EP.
All right, I'll be the judge. What's the lead?
There it is. Who played that? Jalen?
Jalen got it.
Nice work.
Telling you, I don't have it. It's
they
not
took
here.
It off the
now, this sheet. Actually isn't Hollywood entertainment, but it's entertaining to me. And it made me think of Adam, actually. So I want to incorporate Adam in here.
I think of Adam a lot.
Who?
You.
Well, when I read about like dating stories and things like that, I think about Adam.
Oh, the new website?
No. So this is about Tinder scammers.
Okay.
And I thought, this is a scam you should pull off.
Okay.
There are guys, because I got to imagine you've been on Tinder for a long time and all the women have already swiped left. What's the bad one? Swipe left if you don't like the person?
Pretty much every woman in the city has swiped left on me.
Correct. So what guys are doing, some Tinder users are employing a loophole to show up more frequently in women's feeds once they've been rejected. They delete the app and then immediately re-download it, sign back in. Their algorithm that Tinder has treats them as new users, so they show up in the feeds of women who've already seen them again and again and again. So I don't know if the women
aren't
recognize
they going to keep
it.
Swiping away from them if initially they didn't
well,
like them.
Maybe
the first
get a better
place.
Picture. Yeah, do a maybe new they're picture. In a bad mood. Maybe they had just hooked up with somebody, but now they're available. Like there's a million things.
The app I saw, which could be something that Adam might want to go with, is a new dating app. No pictures.
Well, that's a dangerous.
That'll get no traction.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
How about just bodies only? See, that's what we would see. I would do one like that.
Well,
maybe.
We did that.
We did that contest.
We did the contest.
Yeah. What if you just did like, and then
by the
you
way,
could
how
do,
demeaning,
you could have two.
How demeaning were we?
We
made
as you
them
could
put
be.
A paper bag over their
It was
head.
Objectifying, no doubt about it.
It was, but that was the humor in it. We were aware of it. And we owned it.
That's when the show was actually fun.
Some might say not objectifying. It was making things the most fair.
We tried to level the playing field. Yeah. We didn't want your hot face to get in the way of a hot ass contest.
Because we had bikini contests before where the girls...
Just the prettier girl might win.
Maybe like the prettiest girl, but they didn't even look that great in a bikini.
Didn't even have that great of a butt.
It's just demeaning to ask a girl to put a bag over her face.
That was the genius of it, correct. Jason. They were aware of it.
No, I know. But look, they loved it. There were 10 contestants.
And we said, because we got that criticism at the time, but we said, listen, they know what they're doing.
And the girl
we're not forcing
won,
them.
The girl that won had a fantastic body.
And you know what? And a butter face. So it actually worked out.
Bad teeth.
It was a home run.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I couldn't believe it worked.
It actually worked. I wouldn't have cared.
When we took the bag off. Reveal. Oh my God. I was like, this thing worked out. Genius.
And by the way, Brett's wife finished top five.
She did.
Well, Jenny's one of those. She could balance like a wine glass on her butt, right?
I don't know.
So here's the thing. God damn it, I lost my
train
of thought.
That
with the dating app, the Tinder?
No, on the Tinder thing, I definitely think you should do that.
So I'm willing to delete my account right now.
Start over.
And then start over.
Yeah, I think you should because, I mean, it's been fruitless. I would do it with all of Plenty of Fish, all the ones that you're doing.
So Tinder has been officially deleted.
So, and then re-log in.
Can you steal, like, Nick Ashew's headshot and use that as your own?
Right.
I don't need Nick Ashew.
But here's what I would do. Here's my Shark Tank idea. So we have a website where just bodies only. So for guys that are just into bodies, and then you don't have to show your face. And then we could have one where it's headshots only for guys that all they care about is they want a cute face. Jabby, are you tracking with me?
I know, but a lot of those are just headshots on Tinder and all that.
I don't know. I've never been on
it. I like the body
it.
Thing.
Huh?
I like the body idea.
You do?
How many sites are you currently on, Adam? I figured he wasn't using any of them anymore because he never dates.
He never talks about it. I think he tells me that he's still swiping.
When the dating expert came in, she said that he needed to do a lot of things like swipe every day. My guess is he's so beaten down, he's given up.
I'm not swiping every day, but I would say weekly.
Wouldn't it be so fun?
So you use Tinder? What else?
That'd be so fun.
Tinder, Bumble. Hinge and the League.
The League?
Wow, you have a lot of help there.
The League was like it was supposed to be like professional, so I don't know how they let me in.
Oh, yeah. You should just delete that one.
Well, yeah, it's hurting. You only get 3 likes a day, so
only 3. So you have to be selective.
Yeah.
And how many? Honestly, how many choose you? Like
one chose me.
In all of the apps?
No, on the League. Uh-huh. Other ones, I've had a few.
What did the one on the League look like?
But.
Be honest,
if
Adam.
They chose him, but.
Just a bigger girl.
Huh?
Just a bigger girl.
A larger carriage girl. Yeah. Yeah. I get
but
it.
She was cute. But...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did that ever affect you and your self-esteem? Because that was kind of the theme.
That I had a large carriage?
No. Just that this is the level.
Who
like
says that? I had a large carriage.
People who are dumb say that.
In other words, like maybe you're not this as hot as you think you are.
Yeah. I mean, I did that one app that we talked about that rates you, and it rated me as a 6.
It did?
Yeah.
How did you feel about that?
I felt pretty good. I mean, I personally think I'm like a 6.6. And then, you know, once I'm... You know, a little liquored up, and my personality pops, then I round up to a 7.
Oh, I think it goes the other direction.
Yeah, I think your personality goes the other direction. That's the problem.
Clips.
By the way, the Astros do have a player now speaking.
That's
Alex Bregman.
Yeah, he's so nervous.
He definitely looks remorseful.
Is he reading?
The
owner just said, "I'm sorry." Basically,
Jim Crane and Dusty are up there at the podium or at the table.
Oh, Bregman spoke for 2 seconds. Oh no, he's still on. One of these feeds is behind.
It's good if he comes from the heart and he's not reading.
I wonder what he's going
to
say.
Can we tap into that anyway, Drabby? It's just too late to do that.
We got Reardon anyways.
That's true.
Only the last segment, right? Yeah. All right, well, hold on. That was only segment. We got to do more EP tomorrow.
You want to talk about Dog Adam.
How about this?
How about at 9:40
You come in
tomorrow.
Early. Why don't we do it at 6:20 tomorrow?
Size.
I've talked
I'm
to
do all of
nice early.
6:20. And I've already previewed them.
By the way, Bregman did talk for about... 3 minutes.
Uh-oh, here comes Altuve.
Show your buzzer, Jose.
Yeah.
All right. So the Caps are in Colorado tonight.
Yes.
Williams talked to the head coach. They haven't been playing great hockey of late. Todd Reardon joins us next here on the Junkie.
Thompson Creek Windows. They can lower your heating bills and save you 40% in the process. Thompson Creek does it all. They design, build, and install replacement windows, so you will not pay the middleman markup, because markups are hard to get. You get high quality windows at an affordable price direct from their local factory. Buy one window, get one 40% off plus zero interest until September 2021. See ThompsonCreek.com for details. You get more for your money at Thompson Creek. Call 855-57-CREEK before this offer is gone. Welcome back. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Hope to be joined shortly by Washington Capitals head coach Todd Reardon. As the Caps are embarking on a road trip out west.
Yep. Big one. Big one tonight.
After a home
Gotta state, stop the bleeding cakes.
Fully agree.
We were just watching the Astros address the cheating scandal, and the two players who addressed the media were Alex Bregman, who's hated here in D.C., and Jose Altuve, and they both gave very brief general statements, as did Dusty Baker, who's now the manager of the Astros, and the owner basically saying, yes, we did cheat, we're sorry, and we want to move on in 2020.
All right, is Coach on the line? What's the story?
With us. Yep. He's with us from out west.
Hey, Coach, what's up, man?
Good morning, guys. Actually, it's a little later than an early morning for you guys. I'm out here in Colorado right
now. Yep, and Coach Reardon, driven by Sheehy Auto Stores and Sheehy.com.
Coach, I'm going to call this a bounce-back Thursday for the Caps after the last couple games. All right? That's a bounce-back Thursday. What do you think?
I like the sounds of that. certainly not the homestand we would have liked. And now we're back on the road. We've had a couple days to reset, and we get back at it against a very good Colorado Avalanche team tonight. So it's already going to be a challenge, and if we're not going to play better than we have been, then it's going to be a long night for us. So we've made some adjustments here the last few days, and now we're looking to see it in action here.
Coach, I don't want to dwell on the homestand too much, but can you recall a worse one since you've been with the team as an assistant and head coach than the last four games where you dropped three of four, including three in the division, and allowed 18 goals in those contests?
You know, I spend a lot of time looking at numbers and kind of assessing where things are at. So what you've done in the past and how you can learn from it, and use those experiences to help myself coach better and also our team relate to the times we've gone through. But in regard to this particular homestand, I don't have the actual data in 6 years, but I would be guessing that with the number of games that we've won and the staffs that I've been a part of, it's not usually the norm when you struggle at home like we are.
So, Coach, you mentioned you're in Colorado. Kind of a weird scheduling quirk. This is your first multi-game road trip in nearly 2 months. Caps have had 8 straight one-game road trips since December 16th. Have you ever encountered anything like that before with the scheduling?
No, and I think that's a different one for sure. And it's once you get out on the road, you'd like to stay on the road and play a few games usually. And going back and forth, it's the travel part that takes it out of you. Is the to and from the airport, the back and forth, the change, delays with flights, all that sort of stuff. That when you're on the road and you're not worrying about coming back to, take care of things at home, then you can deal with delays a lot easier. So it's just one of the parts. I mean, it's part of being a professional athlete. You have to figure out how to get through it. And obviously, we've done a good job as we still sit atop the Metro and certainly not playing our best hockey. But there's situations like this where we're going through a little bit of adversity, I think is good for us in the long term.
And, Coach, there are certainly numbers to back up what you're saying as far as being out on the road for, a stretch of three or four games at a time. Caps are 12-2-1 in multi-game trips this season. So you guys get into a rhythm out on the road instead of these one-offs that you've had to deal with for the last 2 months.
No, it's been kind of an interesting transformation of our team over the last 6 years, too, that sometimes makes a little bit of getting on the road a good chance to get back and reset and get into your routine. You know, through the first three quarters of the season, our team, I don't think there's, you know, probably any other team that does more stuff in the community than we do when we're at home. Every day it seems like our guys are doing something, and just the amazing impact they make on the community. And they're so committed to that, whether it's through individual things or it's through team things. And then now we have so many guys that have young families. So now learning to, you know, the how to deal with being new dads and dealing with kids that are growing up and wanting to be great dads and husbands at the same time. And so this gives you a chance to, you know, for the most part, have our mindset on hockey tonight. And, you know, I don't expect us to be perfect tonight. You know, and it's going to, you know, be a little bit of work for us to get through this spot of adversity and, you know, playing without Kuznetsov tonight and some different things. But hopefully, you know, we can see some signs in the right direction and start to overcome some of this adversity, which I think is a great learning tool.
So you just mentioned Kuzi there. He's making the trip, but he's out tonight. I know you and the rest of the NHL, you're very guarded about injury status of players, but it's encouraging that he's making the trip. Maybe he'll be able to make one of the later games, maybe against Arizona or Vegas.
Yeah, if it wasn't a situation like that, then, you know, normally we wouldn't bring the player on the trip. So that's we're hoping and hopeful that that is the situation. And, you know, that being said, we're not putting the player in until he's 100% at this time. And so we want to make sure he's back and healthy and ready and to go for a really good last, you know, 28-game push here as we get closer to the end of the season.
Talking to Coach Todd Reirden from the Washington Capitals, still atop the Metro. So, Coach Reirden, we've been talking a lot about the goalie situation the last couple of weeks, and we don't know what that we're talking about. Why don't you fill us in? The goalies haven't been playing as well. You know, you look at some of the statistics, and Samsonov had been playing much better of late, but then he had a couple of clunkers. What's going on with your goalies?
Yeah, I think we've got two great goalies. And, you know, we're fortunate to have two guys that have shown the ability to play at an extremely high level. One with a new, you know, a rookie NHL goalie, which is the toughest position to come in and probably play. He's shown some really strong, you know, signs of being having the ability to take over and be a really good number one someday. And then you have, obviously, a former Vezina and Stanley Cup winner and Braden Holtby and all the things that he brings to the table and, you know, proven winner. And so we've got a good tandem. And I think, you know, just like the rest of our team here recently, you know, we have been just a little off. You know, so, you know, hopefully as we play better as a team, then we can help insulate them better as goaltenders. And what we have here is a good situation with two goalies, and any team that's going to be playing for a long time, you know, during the season needs to have both of them.
Todd, you may not agree with this. I'm guessing you will not agree with this. All right.
All right.
But loaded question.
Not really. But I was watching the game, the Philly game, and I was texting a buddy back and forth during the game. Now, I turned it on. It was already 3-1, maybe 4-1. And I was very shocked. And I was texting him, and I said, "Hey, dude, what's going on? Is it Holtby or was it the defense?" He said, "No, defense put him in a lot of bad spots." But he said, at the end of the game, he says, "It's not bad to have your ass kicked once in a while to kind of just send a message." Now, I know you don't want to have your ass kicked back-to-back games, but he said he was more positive about it. He said, "This is good for the team. It opens their eyes, sends a message." I'm just wondering how you feel about that stance.
I definitely don't like getting my ass kicked at all.
Yeah.
And
all right.
Especially in two games where, you know, I felt that way after the game. It is not a good feeling. With that being said, I've been fortunate to be a part of, you know, in my time in the NHL, of teams that have been in the playoffs every year. And though some of them have won the President's Trophy and some are right at the top of the league over the last 11 years. And the ones that won, that everything went perfect for all year, and then you never had any adversity, never went through some beat downs by an opposition, they never seem to be able to go to the next level and win the ultimate prize. And the two times that I've been a part of raising that cup, it hasn't gone perfectly. So sometimes it can be good that you're dealing with it in season as opposed to in, let's say, game three of a playoff series.
for the first time. So that's happened to me as a player and as a coach. And, you know, it's part of the game. It's a competitive game. Obviously there's everyone wants to win. And, you know, we're fortunate to be in a situation where, you know, we can make some adjustments here and play better as a group of players and a group of five on the ice, which is the biggest thing. And then, you know, learn from these lessons and improve.
Coach, it's time for the easy at Sheehy fan question of the week. Ovi seems like he's tired of being asked about his pursuit of 700 goals. Has that become a distraction at this point as he nears that milestone? That from Bob in Chevy Chase.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, I think he does a phenomenal job with the media. Ovi does. And, you know, it just it's great to watch and learn if you're a young player how he deals with the media and the everyday questions, even when he's not trying to score a goal to put him at a certain milestone. Every day the media wants to talk to him, and for the most part he is there. And he's answering questions, good, bad, and different. And so in terms of, you know, I think being a true pro in terms of what he's doing, he's first class in terms of doing those things and always being there. I think that's one of the things that is a little bit underrated. And sometimes, you know, I think he's used to it. So this isn't something that bothers him. He knows that if we play better as a team and we do the right things as a group of five, like I've mentioned on the ice, then he's going to get his goals, as has been the case over the years. Right. So, you know, like I think is there more media and more people following us than there was for goal 600? I was here for it, so I know for a fact, and that's just today's social media and media and following him. And it's a great story because we are so fortunate to have this guy in DC playing for the Capitals, and the notoriety around the league and around the United States and Canada is amazing. So, you know, he does a great job dealing with it. I think it's out there for sure. You know, he's mic'd up for every game. He's got so it is different than a normal game, but I don't think it's causing a distraction. And it's something that, if it is, then something that we're moving past. Maybe it was game one, but now it's getting to be the norm. And let's hope that we can take care of that here in the next couple of games and be done with it.
Coach Reardon, thanks as always. We appreciate the time. Grab those 2 points in Colorado. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
Of course. Coach Reardon,
right, good luck.
Driven by Sheehy Auto Stores. It's easy at Sheehy. 14 brands, 29 dealerships, one easy price. Get started today at Sheehy.com.
Saw an incredible stat about Zion Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
They're flashing it on ESPN. So he's played 9 games.
Wow.
And he has 125 right field goal attempts. Only 11 outside the paint.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's getting
and a lot of those were in that first game when he shot all those threes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He is in the paint.
Yeah.
He's going to average 30 if he can stay healthy because he's so athletic and he's going to get all those dunks and layups and no one plays defense. He's going to be a 30-point per night guy.
He's an athletic freak. He's stronger than everybody.
Stronger.
Can jump over them.
Quicker leaper.
Yep. Crazy.
By the way, does it seem like the early returns on the Astros apology tour is winning too many people over?
Yeah, really? I don't think so. All right, we got to get out
of
here.
Bad PR guy.
Where's the junkies? Me.
Grant Dandy up next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.